Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. It's the second time this week that that open has played. We never got to the story about why I am indeed banned from Madison Square Garden. It's a little bit of a downer.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a Friday story.
Is that a football Friday story? We'll save it.
For like May or something?
Maybe. It's an off-season story, that's for sure. But I was not like intoxicated or anything like that. It's a lot more complicated, yet a pretty good story. Hey, what's up? I'm Maggie Gray. That's Andrew Perloff. Welcome to Maggie and Perloff. Again, huge, huge show on tap for you today, and we want you to be a part of it. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is how you get in touch with the show. You can listen to us on CBS Sports Radio. You can watch us on CBS Sports Network and SiriusXM Channel 158. We got social media handles at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L, at Andrew Perloff, at Maggie Gray. You can go to our Facebook page. Both the official and unofficial show pages are up and running. That is all true, and that is all happening. Hey, Andrew,
yeah.
How you doing?
Good. It's the Perloff, T-H-E-E, Perloffs on Facebook.
That's the unofficial.
Yeah, I wonder what's happening on this fan page. Like, what do you think?
I think where the cool kids are.
Yeah, is there like videos like that are homages to us?
Well,
like,
I'll have to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I'm fired up. This is our first playoff weekend together. Yep. You have a team in the playoffs, Buffalo
so do
Bills.
You.
And I have a team in the playoffs. I have a feeling my team's going to be in the playoffs a little less long than yours is.
I don't know. Depends where you're talking to around the country. We're going to get to all the games today, but we got to start with not your team and not my team, but the teams that are the most intriguing game of the weekend, and no doubt that is the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. Now, may I just for a second say that I've been on Dallas all week. Didn't waver, didn't ride the tide here with the sports media or the gambling or the public money. I'm not fading anybody. I've just been on Dallas basically since the start of the season, and it's been a roller coaster. But I am still on Dallas. I never wavered on Dallas. And just spoiler alert, I am picking Dallas. I'm laying the 3 points. I never really understood why everyone jumped off the Cowboys bandwagon as quickly as they did once they saw that their opponent was going to be the 49ers.
Well, it was the loss to the Cardinals in week 17. And the fact that they beat these third string Washington and Philadelphia teams, I think fooled some people to thinking they're back. The offense has not been good the second half of the season. But it's more about style. It's about the 49ers. You watch Deebo Samuel run all over the Rams. They're not as talented, but they're much grittier. And I think that's what everyone's pointing to. That's why I had San Francisco for Monday morning. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst possible matchup for Dallas. And I haven't wavered off that stance.
Okay, can I channel a little Mike McCarthy here? And normally that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, well,
but I'm going to do it anyway.
Why would you want to channel Mike McCarthy?
Because I like his cashmere game. No, stylish man, that McCarthy. The reason why I'm going to channel Mike McCarthy is because he was on the Sean and RJ in Dallas. I know those guys. Great guys. He was on with them this week, and they said, what about the perception that your team is a finesse team? And he goes, well, that's the first time I've heard it. I don't know my team is a finesse team. And I don't know if that was just Coach BS. The thing about the Cowboys is that they can beat you in a lot of different ways. They don't just need these high-flying offensive weapons of Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, like Wilson. That's not the only way that they can win. This is a team whose defense is legit. There's a reason why Dan Quinn is getting flown all over the country for head coaching interviews this week, and it's certainly not what he did in Atlanta. It's how he changed up his defense and what he's been able to do in Dallas as the defensive coordinator. And this defense to me is formidable. It's not just about the takeaways. It's so much more multiple than that. And like, I'm not going to claim to be, you know, Miss Football Girl here. But Perloff, I was listening to a podcast with Mike Lombardi, the former NFL executive, and he was talking about how Dan Quinn deserves to be an assistant coach of the year because the defense that he had when Kyle Shanahan was his offensive coordinator, when they went to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, he's completely changed that defense into something totally different to fit his personnel and to play a much better and more effective style. And so for that, like, I don't know, is defense totally out the window here in this game? And why isn't anyone paying more attention to that side of the ball for the Cowboys?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because we've been hyping up Dallas Cowboys players for the last 10 years. Do you remember when their linebacker, Leighton Vander Esch, first round pick came out? Oh, he's going to reinvent the linebacker position. Right. Jalen Smith's going to reinvent the linebacker position. He's cut. He's not on the team. There's so many guys who wear that uniform who, when push comes to shove, big game, they just get beat up and pushed around. And I feel like people are perceiving this as Cowboys star power. You know, they're stars because they're Cowboys, but in a physical game, they do not have what it takes against the Niners, who are the opposite. Deebo Samuel, second-round pick, I believe. George Kittle, fifth-round pick. Brandon Ayuk was a first-round pick, but nobody knows him. They're a bunch of sort of no-name skill players.
Yes,
who
George
are
Kittle,
all tough.
Mr. No-Name. He's the highest-paid tight end in the history of the league.
That's he's like a fifth-round pick.
That's like saying Tom Brady is a nobody because he was a sixth-round pick. What have they done lately?
I think a guy like CeeDee Lamb on Dallas, he's the exact opposite. He came out of college. He's all shiny and new and finesse.
He's a shiny guy.
That's what the Cowboys are. They're these really like attractive players who just look great in highlight reels. But if you put this game on a football field, let's see, I'm going to say it. If they play in a phone booth, oh, I don't totally understand that expression.
No, that's a boxing term. You're fighting in a phone booth.
Yeah, so I feel like, and actually they use that offensive defensive line. I feel like just everybody came out and said, oh my God, the Niners are so much tougher because we've seen Dallas is all glitz. And they have not backed it up. They haven't backed it up since the 90s.
Well, okay. If you want to say, yes, the Cowboys haven't been out of the divisional round since 1995. I totally get that. The history is not on their side. They have won wild card games. I mean, they beat the Seattle Seahawks a couple years ago.
Wow.
So, well, listen, you're asking me for positive things about Dallas. I'm giving them to you. What I think is hilarious about this is just what you said, which is this idea that Dallas is the team with the blue chippers and San Francisco is like the lunch pail guys,
yes.
You know, who are the forgottens. Yes, I forgot Nick Bosa. Well, when was he the forgotten, you know, defensive end? Like one of the most highly touted dudes coming out of college. I'm sorry, was Eric Armstead not a first round pick? Like I'm looking at, you know, obviously even though Garoppolo was not picked, like we've been talking about him. He went to a Super Bowl already. You know, you're talking about Deebo Samuel. He's a star. Trent Williams is one of the best left tackles, just made the first team all pro. These are not a bunch of no-name guys. Meanwhile, their head coach is a legacy. Shanahan, who's like last name is almost semi-royalty in the NFL.
Yeah, they've been toiling away in anonymity in the Bay Area.
Yes, in that small market, San Francisco.
But you know what happens? You put on that Dallas Cowboy helmet, you are going to be the most talked about player and the most talked about team. They do feel like a small market team. And George Kittle is as lunch pail as you get in the NFL.
Okay, but you can't say that he's not blue chip now when he's the highest paid
tight end. He might be blue chip, but he's lunch pail. Ezekiel Elliott, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, all these guys, they're sort of fast, exciting. Something about them does not say gritty NFL football, playoff football. It says to me it's all about the hype, and I think that's what people perceive Dallas now. Now, you know what I'm talking about. How many shows came out and said this is the worst possible matchup? Pretty much every show.
Yes, and Peter King joined us earlier in the week and said that this would be the one upset that he would pick in the Super Wild Card round. But I think if San Francisco wins, there's a reason why this is the closest spread of all the games this weekend. But like if San Francisco won, I don't think that anyone is going to be super shocked. I just don't understand why Dallas all of a sudden got no respect whatsoever. Like, yes, you can point to that Arizona Cardinals game, and I know the Cardinals aren't playing well right now. They're still a playoff team. I know that they were playing against the Philadelphia Eagles backups, and I know they played against the Washington football team. They hung 50-plus on both of those teams. The offense might not be exactly what it was in the first 7 weeks of the game, 7 weeks of the year, but you're asking in a one game, like me versus you, I have home field advantage, and I have the defense that I have. The idea that it felt like I was on an island picking Dallas. Like, when does that ever happen? Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't jump off it because I feel just as confident in the Cowboys today as I did on Monday.
See, I thought I was going to get to you this week. I thought at some point you were going to waver because I was trying all week subtly. I was like, you see how healthy the Niners are right now? Jimmy G.
The injury report updates from San Francisco.
All right, you will give me Jimmy G is sort of like an underdog. There's like an underdog vibe to the Niners. Playing with a hurt finger. You know, he's another second-round pick out of Eastern Illinois. I don't care how much success or how many contracts he gets. He's still going to be an underdog. I can't help but get the feeling that sort of, if you're going to make this into a movie, the Niners would be the upstart team that's all heart, and the Cowboys are the bully on the block.
And meanwhile, we're talking about Dallas hasn't had postseason success, you know, quote-unquote, in so long, but it was the 49ers who were just in the Super Bowl a few years ago playing against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Same head coach, same quarterback, and a lot of the same guys along the defensive line. Like, where did this narrative come from? It just doesn't, it's like fun to say that the Cowboys are just this flashy team and San Francisco's not. It's just not the truth. It's not the truth when you're looking at the actual players on the field and the success that each of them have had. And so I just couldn't buy it. They play a different style, but see, that's the other thing. Like, the Cowboys are so versatile that, you know, they don't show it all the time, but they also can be a power running team if it suits them. Ezekiel Elliott, Pollard, seems like they're as healthy going into this game. I know it, obviously they're not going to be healthy all year. They're running backs. But going into this game, they have the ability to run. I think the thing about the quarterbacks, which gets a little why Jimmy G feels like an underdog, even though he's been in a Super Bowl and Dak hasn't, is because there's so much riding on this for him, we think. Mm.
Right. His future's uncertain. They drafted Trey Lance. It seems like he's headed out of town. I mean, even if they get deep into the playoffs, I think they have to move to Trey Lance at some point. But the Super Bowl.
You don't think that even if, say they went to the Super Bowl, you think that they're going to trade him?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I think it's Trey Lance. In fact, I don't know that Trey Lance shouldn't have been starting last week against the Rams. Wow. Jimmy G was really bad in the first half. Yeah, and he almost cost him the game with 5 minutes left. He made some big plays, but that's because Ayuk and Deebo Samuel bail him out all the time. We'll see this week. The funny thing you mentioned was that Chiefs-Niners Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It was pre-pandemic. It feels like it was three decades
ago.
Feels like an NFL Films thing from the 80s with John Facenda's voice.
Nobody, it's like, were Madden and Summerall calling that Super Bowl? Maybe.
Does anybody even remember that this particular Niners team was there? But you could spin that the other way. This is a very similar team to that Niners team. Jimmy G's still the quarterback. They're running very well. They had no-name running backs that time, Raheem Mostert. Now they have Elijah Mitchell, and Deebo is a running back as well.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you could use that argument to say this is the Niners weekend. It's just, how much time we have? We have basically 2 hours and 48 minutes. Is there any way I'm going to talk you into the Niners?
I mean, you got to be bringing something a little better than Jimmy Garoppolo as the lunch pail guy. I mean, I get it, but I can't buy that. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm going to get moved off my mark. This is something that, you know, it's not just me being stubborn here about Dallas. I really see a path for them.
Mike McCarthy versus Kyle Shanahan.
So that's
got to make
you
nervous.
Might start convincing.
All right. Here we go.
You found the crack in the armor. But I will say, I think that Dan Quinn is the defensive coordinator. Mm. Like, I'm hoping that in my mind, this is like a defensive, like the defense carries them to the win. So I'm like giving the credit already to Quinn. And then by all accounts, he's probably gone.
I think we were both at the Super Bowl when Seattle won their Super Bowl in New York.
Yeah, we were.
Remember Dan Quinn, the game plan he had for the Broncos that game?
Oh.
He basically won that game single-handedly.
It was like the first snap, wasn't it? It was a safety over Peyton's head,
exactly,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. That was like one of the great defensive coordinator games of all time. You're right. Yeah, okay, so I love Shanahan over McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Dan Quinn makes me a little nervous.
Dan Quinn is a little nervous, but let's not also forget here about Kyle Shanahan. I know genius, whatever moniker we want to throw around about Shanahan. He's a fantastic coach. I get all that. He got back to a Super Bowl, which he needed to do because, and I'm sorry for the people in Atlanta. You're great people. I don't mean to bring it up. But what he did in that Super Bowl, that's on him. That was on Tom Brady being amazing and Julian Edelman coming back in that game. But why they were still passing up 28-3 late in that game, it will always be a mystery to me.
We're going
to
litigate that game
I just did.
You got to let it go. You got to let it go.
I can't and I won't.
Man.
At least not while I'm picking the Cowboys this weekend. So I'm laying the three.
We're picking all the games later today. But I got to tell you, I'm hyper-focused on this pick now. I'm telling you right now, I'm picking the Niners. And I know you're picking the Cowboys.
Yeah.
There's a lot riding on this. Are we watching this together? Are we going going to be separate, because I feel like this is,
I don't know, I feel like we're getting very personal. Too much energy, you know?
Yeah.
Get uncomfortable for people. That's always a fun way to watch an NFL playoff game. We want to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So what do you think about this idea that the Cowboys are the superstar blue chip finesse team, and that the 49ers are somehow like monsters of the midway? I don't know how they ever got this, that they're somehow the, not just the underdogs in terms of Vegas, but even more than that.
The little team that no one thought could. The team that, yes. I mean, what, they don't, you know, they have a lower payroll. They play in a poor city, San Francisco.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's amazing that they were able to get this far.
Meanwhile, nobody can afford a studio apartment in San Francisco. You basically have to give up your 401k. Yeah. 14 minutes after the hour. Maggie and Perloff, we're talking football with you all day, so get on board. We want to hear from you. I'd love to hear from Cowboys fans and 49ers fans. How are you feeling heading into this game? Coming up next, serious bulletin board material heading into the weekend. Who was dumb enough to poke the bear, and will it matter? We've got all the evidence next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, we're back here on Maggie and Perloff. That's definitely one of the songs that Maggie picked to rejoin with.
Yeah, Tito Puente's version of Oye Como Va.
Yeah, I like it. It's a good Friday song.
Yeah.
So last segment, we were talking about the Niners and Cowboys. I forgot to mention, almost 70% of the public money is in on the 49ers, which kind of weakens my argument here, because you don't want to go with the public money. But
wait,
I can't,
are you
convince
convincing
you.
Me to come to the 49ers, or am I starting to convince you to come over to the Cowboys?
I think that's what's happening here. But there's one game that I'm even way more solid on, and that's Bucks-Eagles. I know exactly who I'm picking. I'm going to save it. But let's get into some of these Tom Brady comments, because if I wanted to believe in my Philadelphia Eagles, and Tom Brady had me kind of saying, well, maybe we have a chance here.
Oh, you got a compliment from the GOAT?
Yeah, like Tom Brady said, we're good. So maybe we're good.
Okay, so you have to remember, though, let's set this up a little bit. Tom Brady praising the Philadelphia Eagles, and he went out of his way. What was this, yesterday during his media veil?
Yeah, he had hours and hours of nice things to say about the defense and Jalen Hurts.
All of a sudden, I thought, I was like, are you also complimenting Mayor of Easttown? Like, this was just a straight-on Philly love. Like, this is a guy who hasn't had a cheesesteak in 30 years.
Yeah,
yet.
He said...
Was, like Geno's and Pat's and Widow.
He's never gone to Wawa. And he never would go to a Wawa, which is the greatest convenience store in the history of the world.
Yeah, you guys love that place. It's your thing. I'm not gonna yuck your yums there, but no one outside of Philadelphia.
We'll get a tasty cake at Wawa and maybe a hoagie.
Get a hoagie. So Tom Brady went out of his way to really be over exuberant on the Philadelphia Eagles, but it made us remember something very important. Now if we rewind to what's after June? It was June when Tom Brady made a very memorable appearance on the HBO show The Shop, and he was asked about handling the media, especially on game days or, you know, leading up to a game, and this is what he revealed.
What I say versus what I think are two totally different things. I would say 90% of what I say is probably not what I'm thinking. From a strategic standpoint, I never want to give away, like, what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I usually say the opposite. You know, they got a corner. I'll be like, that guy's unbelievable. I don't even know how to complete balls over there. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going to like that motherfucker all day.
So that was Tom Brady on The Shop on HBO. And this was him yesterday talking about the Eagles defense.
We're going to have to play our best game of the year. I mean, this is a toughest opponent all year. You know, we're playing a team that's very talented. They make it to this point for a reason. And we got to do everything we do to get the win. I mean, this is a football team that's been playing really well. Good on offense. They got a very good defense, good front. Been very healthy. It's going to be a very tough game.
What a jerk.
What a troll job.
Oh, my God. This would be the biggest game they played all year. And this is about the Eagles are what? They're 9-8. This is about the 10th best team they've faced. They could bring their C game and probably come out of here with a win. But now I'm mad at Tom Brady. As an Eagles fan, we don't need your pity party. We don't need you to say we're good. Now I know you're lying.
If Tom, did he remember that he said that on HBO? It's not like he mentioned it on like somebody's like small podcast or something. It was a pretty big platform where he said that he goes out of his way to say the opposite, and he was praising the Eagles defense yesterday. This is going to be just cupcake for the Bucks.
Yeah, I think Tom was trying to impress LeBron. If you get on The Shop, you have to bring it. That is a tough spot, and that was a great episode. But I don't think he meant a word of that about the Eagles defense, because the Eagles defense statistically is very good, but they lay back, basically, they play bad quarterbacks, and they still let those bad quarterbacks move the football. They've had a good scoring defense. I don't think for a second Tom Brady's scared of them.
No, I don't think so either. I think this was included in the, what do you say, 90% of the time I'm lying. I think that's clearly part of the 90%.
Right. And anybody who says the Eagles beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, do you remember how many yards Tom Brady had in that game?
500 or more.
520 or something. So it wasn't because they slowed down Tom Brady. He looked as confident as ever. He doesn't seem to care that Antonio Brown's not there. He doesn't seem to care that Chris Godwin's not there, that Mike Evans is a big gimpy. Man, I'd be scared if I was the Eagles.
Well, and that, now you can just like, you're right. I mean, he's just trolling them now. Okay, so let's hear from another quarterback from yesterday. Again, this is how you do it. This is how you do it, because later on we're going to hear from somebody who's doing it the wrong way. Ben Roethlisberger yesterday. This also definitely sounds like a lie.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. We're a double-digit underdog in the playoffs. So let's just go play and have fun and see what happens.
Yeah, see, Ben's ego, I think he probably still somewhere has to believe, oh, we're going into Kansas City. We're pulling an upset.
He totally does. But is he going too far in the Brady school of thought? Is he screwing it up as only Big Ben can?
Yes,
by being
he
too
doesn't
obvious?
Do subtlety.
Yeah. We're 14 out of 14. All right, Ben, you're being too obvious here. You got to sell it a little bit. Like, yeah, we have confidence. They're a great team. Like, Brady makes it sound authentic. Big Ben sounded like he was reading a prepared statement. See, I'm not more nervous about the Steelers after that quote.
Okay. So maybe didn't have the effect maybe that it was supposed to have. Here's somebody who's doing it the wrong way. And like, if I gave you 10 guesses, you'd probably get it. But Nick Bosa.
Oh.
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa saying the wrong thing. That's weird.
He said the quiet part out loud. Go ahead.
They're definitely beatable. There's tape on them getting beat, and we're trying to do the same. They've definitely been in and out of the lineup a lot this year and the past years, so game plan is to make them work.
Yeah, he's talking about the Cowboys' offensive line. Don't do that, dude. Don't. Just me. I wouldn't have. I'd be a little more Brady on this one than I would be Nick Bosa. I know some people, though, like it when guys are super confident and they just put it out there and they're, like, super honest. And that was a very honest take from Nick Bosa. I wouldn't have done that. You just gave the Cowboys' offensive line bulletin board material.
Yeah, and the Bosas have such a weird delivery. They sound like these surfer guys.
Yeah, they do.
And they're from this famous football family. They're kind of like, their voices don't fit their bodies or their style of play. I'm a huge Nick Bosa on the field fan. He blows up every single play. But Nick, you want to say those are great left tackles. You know, they have great tackles. If you don't learn from Tom Brady, this was the worst pregame. I've been looking at all the quotes to try and see if anything affects my picks. This one might get me off that San Francisco 49ers bandwagon.
Wow, so I'm even bringing you by, and I'm not even trying here. Now it's just Nick Bosa being a meathead.
When are we making our picks? What's the exact time?
5:20 Eastern.
And is Nick Bosa or anyone on the 49ers addressing the media?
The media between now and then? Because I'm not sure.
You know, after hearing that Brady quote, I am going all out praising the opposition every time. And that's kind of my style, too. I definitely like...
But you told me you thought yesterday's show was good.
Oh, I did. Actually, disclosure, you said right before the last segment, this show's been really good. Then the last segment, there was like 9 seconds of dead air.
I blew it.
I think I turned my mic off by accident like 3 times. Somebody coughed. It was terrible. But, I mean, I'll give you a perfect example of this dynamic. I started the job here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of radio shows in this building.
Yes.
I met a lot of new people. Every one of them, I came up and said, I love your show. It's so great. And through the years, I've noticed everyone has always come up to me and said, oh, I love your show.
You, though, to be fair, you were on an extremely popular show and hit show, The Dan Patrick Show.
But watch, it was Super Bowl Media Row, everyone's going to come up to us and be like, oh, Andrew, Maggie, I love your show. I've been watching so much.
Yeah.
And then we should just quiz and be like, what was your favorite episode? What was your favorite take?
Yes.
Which segment did you like?
That's when you reveal how big of an insecure jerk you are. When you're like, no, tell me. I want evidence. I want proof. So here's the thing, though. And this like applies to all walks of life. This is not just radio. You see somebody, say you don't really have you don't have anything nice to say, but you can't just golden rule this thing and not say anything at all. You got to say something. Is it better to lie?
Of course.
You got to lie.
Yeah. And actually, even if you do have something to say, Tom Brady, who is the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's endorsing lying.
Oh my God, that's the Patriot way. And by the way, this is all Belichick, right? I know you've been studying Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
This is all Belichickian. He praises the heck out of his opponents. And he obviously has no respect whatsoever for them.
Yes, it's so obvious now that you know it. So when he says something nice, it's like feels like the kiss of death.
So if somebody comes up to us at the Super Bowl and says, I love your show, should we just punch them?
Stop lying.
Yeah, just like kick them and say, yeah, you jerk. Who do you think you're better than me? You think you're better than me?
I'm more like that motherfucker all day.
Yeah.
It's going to be awkward when it's Rome.
And then we have to walk around Media Row 2 and just tell everyone how awesome their show is. We love your show.
Well, here's somebody we really love, and this is no lie. It's Rich Ackerman with the CBS Sports Update. But first, the most important position on the field this weekend, well, it's not quarterback. We got an against the grain coming up later. Against the Grainers, get ready. It's Perloff, Maggie, it's you on CBS Sports Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, get to ask us a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply check out the link cbssportsradio.com/askthepros or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. One question that's maybe going to tear the show apart that just happened in the break was my hot take about children's television, but we'll save that. You can get in touch with the show, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
That, you just don't like nice things. You don't like positive messages. You're just yes, a deeply cynical. You're a deeply cynical person. So I can't imagine, what's the children's show you like? Squid Game? What is it? What, yes. What do you have your
My like, kid is really into Naked and Afraid. No. No, I got some hot takes about Paw Patrol. That's it. But we're going to save that because it's a football Friday. We're heading into Super Wild Card weekend, and we are going to get to Perloff's Against the Grain in just a little bit. But have you guys noticed something? So obviously the coaching carousel is going to really start turning. I know a lot of fans of teams, like, I'll say personally, I really don't like it that the offensive and defensive coordinators for my team, as you're preparing for Bill Belichick, as you guys know, I'm a Bills fan. So Brian Daboll, Leslie Frazier, I'm all in favor of them getting a head coaching job. For Leslie Frazier, another one. For Brian Daboll, it'd be his first. I'm all in favor of them getting interviews and getting hired. Like, this is not about me trying to put the handcuffs. But, like, can we just wait? You're trying to prep here for Belichick round three. This is super important, you know, sports important. This is important for the people who have been rooting for the Bills and have sacrificed our money and time and put a lot of effort into rooting for this team. Can we just save the coaching, you know, interviews for after the Super Bowl is over? That's my number one. So, like, as teams and coaches are flying around the country, or maybe it's Zoom calls, I don't know, getting poached, there's been one very noticeable absence to me amidst all of this. So-and-so's getting an interview, and this guy, and that lady, and this, and this. Where the hell's Jim Harbaugh? This is all we heard for weeks.
Jim Harbaugh, the Raiders. Jim Harbaugh to the Bears.
Hey, Miami. This is Stephen Ross had this plan the whole time. He's actually going to pluck him out of Miami to come coach Tua. And then all of a sudden, nothing.
Well, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, reported the official list. Every interview has to be reported to the league. There hasn't been a single interview request for Jim Harbaugh, the Michigan coach. But
what do you chalk that up to?
Does that mean that his agent isn't talking to teams right now? I mean,
why not? This is it's all happening right now.
Right. I don't think that takes him out of the running for anything. Now, obviously, a cynic like you would say Jim Harbaugh was creating this buzz to get a better contract out of Michigan.
I have said that about Jim Harbaugh in the past.
Yeah, was that your initial reaction?
And I was right about that the last time when he's threatened to go back to college and other things. It was to get another contract at Michigan. It was to get a bigger contract.
Well, I think
and then he took a pay cut last year.
One of the funny things is he's sort of a front runner for the Raiders job, but the Raiders are in the playoffs, and Rich Bisaccia is doing a great job, the interim coach.
Yep.
So they can't really do interviews right now. So that's one team. They're not going to interview Jim Harbaugh this week, so take them off the table. Why the Bears have not requested Jim Harbaugh? I'm a little confused because they've requested everybody. I think Brian Flores is there, the former Dolphins coach, today. You know what? If I'm an owner, I'm definitely calling Jim Harbaugh. I know that maybe he is using this as leverage and maybe it's a smokescreen, but so what? If you get him in the building, you get to talk to him, maybe you can convince him to come out, because I think Harbaugh has shown he can develop young quarterbacks. So a team like Chicago with Justin Fields, oh, man, I would love to get a Jim Harbaugh. He's, to me, a much better name than a lot of the guys we're seeing on the interview list.
Okay, so Harbaugh with Chicago, I feel like, would make sense because they also have an opening at GM.
Yeah.
You know, the one thing about the Raiders, we're talking about Rich Bisaccia and him doing such a great job, and, you know, is he coaching for a future job? I don't know if this is like a David Culley situation where no matter what happens, they're going to be looking in a different direction, because obviously that's what happened to David Culley, because he did a very good job with what was a horrible situation in Houston and still got fired this week. So obviously there was nothing he could have done to keep that job, save some miracle trip to the Super Bowl or something. So Rich Bisaccia might not actually have a prayer. What about Mike Mayock?
Well, Mayock's been in trouble all year.
Okay, so yeah, you'd have to let him go also if you're going to bring in Jim Harbaugh, right?
I think that would be easy for the Raiders to do. I mean, Mayock's had some misses in the draft lately. I think,
but everyone thought that was Gruden's picks.
Yeah, but obviously I think they'd like to give Mayock one more year, but if it meant getting a Jim Harbaugh, I think they'd be willing to let him go.
I agree with you. And yeah, I think that Mayock would probably return right back to broadcasting and not skip a beat.
Yeah, although my buddy Daniel Jeremiah is doing a great job for NFL Network, and I hope Mayock doesn't fill that spot again.
There's plenty of room to go around.
Oh, yeah. A draft expert like that, he'd be great. I think the Raiders obviously like big names. If the Raiders win this game, though, it's just a moot point. If they get to the second round, you kind of got to bring Bisaccia back.
I don't see it that way. I don't. I know that winning this game, and we're going to do our picks later on in the show, and I'm big time on the Raiders, so a little hint. But I don't think that Mark Davis thinks that way.
Really? There's going to be so much goodwill. There's already a lot of goodwill. This is a feel-good team. Everybody loves Darren Waller. They love Hunter Renfro. Carr, they're waiting for him to step up in this big moment. Max Crosby, there's a lot of likable guys there. I feel like they're the feel-good team of these playoffs. You don't think that'll last?
Well, I think there's a couple feel-good teams. I think they're one of them. But I think that this is an organization that I don't know a more appropriate way to say the next word I'm going to say. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to get us in trouble with the FCC. But star bleeper. What's a better way to say that? I don't have a comp.
Celebrity obsessed. Okay but what? That's
Darman.
The Miami Dolphins.
It's the Dolphins, but it's also the Raiders. Like the Raiders with their head coaches. I mean, look at what Gruden. I know Gruden had won a Super Bowl before, so he's in Harbaugh. Has been to the Super Bowl, but there's something about an obsession there, I think, with Mark Davis, with having the big name guy, as their head coach. I don't think they're looking at Rich Bisaccia. They might love the job that he's doing now, but I think they're looking to give another $100 million 10-year offer to, which, by the way, if I'm Harbaugh and I just saw what Gruden got, that 10 years, $100 million, you don't think that Jim Harbaugh is going to be like, wait a minute, why wouldn't I get that? I know I don't have the history of, being a former coach for the Raiders, but obviously I know this organization super well. When you put $100 million out there, that turns people's heads in a different way.
Absolutely. But I don't know about these coaches. Look at the guys they had before Gruden. Jack Del Rio, not a big star. Tony Sperano, probably the lowest profile coach in the history of the NFL. Remember that guy who was the Dolphins? Then they had Dennis Allen, Hugh Jackson, Tom Cable, Lane Kiffin in 2007. So other than John Gruden was a bit of a change of direction for them to bring in a huge name like that. And I think they signed him to that crazy deal because they thought he was going to be the savior. My question is, do they think the same thing about Jim Harbaugh? If they signed him, would they say another 10-year deal? And if they did that, is that another combustible situation where he could be sort of Gruden-esque because he's such a big personality?
Yeah. Well, I mean, by Gruden-esque, that means a lot of different things these days. I think you mean about having control.
But just be, a very famous head coach. Yeah. John Gruden had been the Monday Night Football broadcaster for 10 years. So I think that's why they gave him the 10-year deal. Because as you mentioned, I think Mark Davis is impressed by that kind of thing. I think he's impressed by the size of the name, and Harbaugh is as big as you get in this coaching cycle.
So one other thing about the coaching news from this week that was a little bit interesting to me. So more and more keeps coming out. I thought this story was kind of over. The news cycle moves really, really fast these days, yet there's just more and more that keeps coming out of South Florida about Brian Flores and why ultimately he was, let go. And maybe it's because the backlash to his firing was so big that the other side, the Stephen Ross side, really feels like they need to get their story out. It's like, all right, got it. You're basically spilling all the tea that could possibly be spilled. I don't even know if this stuff is real, but it might just be PR spin. One of the big stories that came out, and I believe this was also yesterday, was that Flores and Tua got into a huge shouting match at halftime one of the games.
Absolutely. It's hey fans, I know you love this guy, but he wasn't as good as you think.
Yeah.
Now, right. Tua does not seem like the kind of quarterback who would get in a shouting match with his coach. Tua has this nice guy persona. Yep. He's little. He's from Alabama. He grew up in Hawaii.
Little
quarterbacks. Drew Brees isn't yelling at a coach. If you're a 5'11".
Are you crazy? Drew Brees would totally yell at a coach.
He would yell at Sean Payton, his guy. No, he's 5'11". He's lucky to be in the NFL. Little quarterbacks have no swagger like that. They're not yelling at their coaches. Tom Brady's 6'4". He could yell at his coach.
No, I feel like it's like the little quarterbacks they're the fiercest because they're the ones who had to overcome all of the discrimination against their height. You can't count out a short quarterback. Are you crazy? They're as ferocious as any.
There are 32 quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks in the NFL. If I had to ask you, as you went down that list, who's going to fight his coach at halftime, Tua would have been the single last person on that list.
Not because he's small, though, because his personality seems to be pretty chill.
Yeah, he's laid back. He practically has a ukulele singing songs in the locker room.
It's probably better for his blood pressure and probably better for his mental health and everything. But yeah, he might be at least on the outside, but I could totally, a coach and a quarterback get into a screaming match, that's not news. What I think is interesting about this, and, you know, again, we're raising our eyebrows a lot because we realize that the Miami Dolphins were put in a really bad, put themselves in a very bad position, unpopular stance, to fire Brian Flores, and now they have to damage control out of this. But if you are Brian Flores, and now you've got this swirl of kind of like weird negative press of all these things that are coming out that the public didn't have any clue about, so it's coming out of nowhere. And now you go to the Bears.
Yeah.
You go to a place where, again, a young quarterback, where you're going to be in charge, where your number one job is to develop this quarterback in Justin Fields. Do you think that any of this negative press sticks to Flores as he's having these interviews?
Oh, yeah. I mean, now that you say it, definitely. Because the number one job when you go to Chicago is fix Justin Fields. Fields did not look great, especially he sort of got worse and worse every game. So the Bears, we know, can be good defensively. You know, this might be a really bad thing.
But what then if it's taken out of context? See, that's
the
thing,
I know.
Right?
Maybe the Bears don't believe it. And maybe the Bears just want toughness. Because Matt Nagy, I don't think, had toughness. So maybe they actually respond to that. Because you know how you flip-flop? The next coach is always different. I feel like Brian Flores yelling at his quarterbacks the exact opposite of Matt Nagy, who seemed to coddle his quarterbacks. So maybe they want a tough guy. Maybe they want somebody who's going to be abrasive to the quarterback. But, you know, I think it's a team-by-team basis.
Again, it'd be a defensive guy, though, which Flores is. So developing the quarterback, you know, he'd have to bring in someone to do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens when you have an expertise on one side
of the ball. Right. Isn't Jim Harbaugh the perfect marriage for Justin Fields, quarterback-wise? Harbaugh, you know, obviously we know about him. He had Andrew Luck at Stanford. He had Josh Johnson way back at San Jose State, or one of those, San Diego State. I don't even remember which one. He had Colin Kaepernick. He's really good with quarterbacks. Hasn't been in Michigan, but nobody, quarterbacks in Michigan are usually not that good anyway. I feel like Justin Fields is the exact kind of skill set he would really know what to do with.
That's funny. The quarterbacks in Michigan aren't that great anyway. Tom Brady, talking about him, going to be walking over the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend, but sure, yeah.
Oh, I wanted to go, you know, I've been following this Michigan-Ohio State.
Is that the against the grain? Was that it?
Well, since Harbaugh's been there, I mean, he had Shea Patterson going against like this litany of NFL quarterbacks at Ohio State. And always looked the place where Ohio State had Michigan the most was quarterback, which is ironic. So I guess that doesn't make sense. But I think if you look at Harbaugh's resume, just what he did with Colin Kaepernick alone, like, hey, let's go and do that with Justin Fields.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So interesting about Harbaugh. The one thing, though, I'm just going to go out on a limb here. I don't think the Bears are offering like $100 million. I don't know that the Vegas Raiders would do this again, but...
Oh, they totally would. Yeah, you brought
another,
it up.
Yeah. Mark Davis also, I don't get the sense that he wants to be in charge. You know, he did this very revealing sit down with, I think it was Andrew Kramer for Real Sports when he talked about, you know, kind of when the Raiders were having a really good, you know, the beginning of the year, they were just rolling. They, you know, so off to a really good start. So Mark Davis did like a little victory lap, you know, sit down interview with Andrew Kramer. And he was talking about how, you know, he never really had a big interest in being a part of the family business. He was just sort of like, you know, he's Al Davis's son. And it was great being Al Davis's son. And like, that was enough. And I can only imagine how cool that probably was for him. And he probably didn't have to do a lot. And now he's had to step into this role. And he was talking about how comfortable he's felt with it now. Boom. Like 2 weeks later, the email scandal ends up happening. And so now, you know, he didn't really show great leadership during that to begin with. And I think he just doesn't want to be that hands-on day-to-day guy like his father was.
It reminds me a little bit of the Houston Texans and Cal McNair, whose father was a very domineering owner, Bob McNair. I feel like the Texans have their whole different thing going on, but it's just as dysfunctional. Did you see the quote from GM Nick Caserio that him and David Culley, who they fired yesterday, were headed in different philosophical directions?
Yes.
What the heck does that mean?
I don't even know.
Wait, like, Culley wanted to run the ball more? Like,
what philosophy are you guys not aligned on? Like, don't you both like want to win more games?
Yeah.
I don't know. Was it the quarterback?
Might have been the quarterback.
Bring in someone else besides Davis Mills. Do you think that Culley was like, no, we got to go with Davis? No.
Kissario also said something interesting. He said, we've made no progress on figuring out what's going on with Deshaun Watson. So it's been a year now. Hmm. They're exactly where they were a year ago as a franchise. What's going on? Is that a job you even want?
Not until the quarterback thing gets resolved. Definitely not, because you're stepping into another situation just like David Culley, where you're going to be the fall guy. And when unless you're someone who's close to that front office, like a Josh McDaniels or someone who knows these guys, it's all Patriots, former Patriots in the front office anyway, unless I can get guaranteed some kind of job security. I mean, at least David Culley, when I saw the report yesterday that he's like at least parachuting out of there with like $17 million, I was like, thank goodness.
Oh, you know,
because he was totally made the fall guy. He finally gets this job and this opportunity late in his career. I'm so glad that he cashed in. I mean, it's devastating, you know, that we're down to just one black head coach in the NFL. It's so embarrassing. But hopefully this hiring cycle changes that. But at least for Culley, I mean, if you're not going to, like, let him continue with the job that he totally deserved a second year for, I mean, at least he's getting paid on the way out.
Do you think
I don't know if that's any consolation prize, but at least he's getting paid.
Do you think they set it up that way? Do you think all along they knew it was one and done for David Culley? They just said, listen, come in here, try and steady the ship. Don't embarrass us. We're going to move on. Or were they really on different philosophical paths or whatever Nick Caserio said? Do you think Culley had the... Did he ever think, you know, this is my job for 5 years? Or did he know he was a sacrificial lamb?
I don't know if he knew. It always felt like it was kind of a, like, we just need someone to steady the ship. And you know what? He did a great job of that.
Yeah, and he's got $17 million.
And he's got $17 million, which is not terrible. I'm sure, though, I wonder if you asked him, would you rather have $17 million or the job?
Oh, he'd take the job.
Right.
Now, here's my follow-up question. Joe Judge yesterday had a pizza and beer party.
Yeah.
So what kind of party in Houston, Texas does David Culley have? You got to go barbecue, right?
I think it's against the law to do anything else.
Yeah, and he's got $17 million. He can get...
That's a lot of smokers.
Ronnie Killen, the famous barbecue master in Houston, can come to his house and have a big party. We need an invite to this.
Wow, you got barbecue people? You've been holding out on me?
Yeah, there's this place called Killen's in Pearland, Texas. J.J. Watt, when he was a Texan, would go there every week before the game. It is the best barbecue. David Culley should spend a significant chunk of his $17 million on Killen's barbecue.
Wow. All right. It's good enough for JJ. It's good enough for us. Against the Grain coming up next. Buckle up. This one's going to sting. It's Maggie and Perloff on CBS Sports Radio. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly
Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.